Last weekend was a homecoming for Kansas City, Kansas native Janelle Monae, a rising star in soul and hip-hop music. In fact, next month she'll receive Billboard's Rising Star Award. Monae's recently collaborated with Erykah Badu and Prince. She had her first local headliner at the Uptown Theater on Friday night. It was a boisterous, sold-out party attended by dozens of her family members and former teachers. They keep us on the ground working hard but are greedy. But when it's time to pay, they turn around and call us needy. My crown too heavy like the Queen Nefertiti. Give me back my pyramid, I'm trying to free Kansas City. The show highlighted Janelle Monae's eclectic blend of science fiction and urban realism. Her dead-on vocals, dance skills, and stage antics made her seem like a reincarnation of Michael Jackson or James Brown. She's also known for her androgynous, tuxedo-inspired outfits and signature pompadour, which don't stop her from being a cover girl. Before her show last week, Monae sat down with John Hart at KCPT's studios. Today on KC Currents, we're bringing you some excerpts from their conversation.
When I was researching, one of the things that really surprised me was nowhere in the 45 pages of material did Of Montreal get mentioned.
Oh, really?
And the other thing that didn't get mentioned surprised me even more, which was your turn in the song from Fun. And I just thought, wow, she's got so much going on that these things are just dropping off
really?
The radar.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sometimes you've got to sort of shake your head and say.
Yes, absolutely. There are still certain things that I'm just like, wow, I can't believe that I get the opportunity to be here right now. And, you know, I can't believe that I'm meeting this person and doing these things. And so it's truly already been an amazing journey. And this is still feels like the beginning of my career. You know, of course, long before I put out, you know, the Arc Android, my first full length project, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, you know, working as an independent artist, selling CDs out of my boarding house. I lived with six other girls and working at Office Depot and you know, living paycheck to paycheck, but so passionate about my career and so passionate about being an artist. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, I have a support system like Kansas City, like my family still. And I try to make the most of all these opportunities. You know, I try and say something profound or build with these powerful people that I'm meeting. You know, I was talking to you off camera about providing a performing arts school here in Kansas City, Kansas. That is something that I really am passionate about, and there's an urgency.
Can you tell me about the weirdos?
Oh, my God. How do you know about the weirdos? Shout out to Marlon and Brandon and everybody who was a part of the weirdos, the group. I would sing with them and perform with them at various talent showcases. And, you know, we were really avant-garde, just individuals. And when I say that, you know, there was a section of Kansas City who majority of people, they were singing and they were rapping other people's music. And I was one of them. I would do a lot of cover songs. But the weirdos wrote their music and, you know, were very political about what they wanted to see done differently and had a very unique approach. So I will say being a part of them and just kind of touring with them around Kansas City helped me to discover my inner weirdo,
yeah,
if you will.
just the slight mentions that I got of them made me think that maybe it kind of a little bit of it started there.
It did. I mean, here in Kansas City is where I cultivated a lot of my style and my individuality. I remember, you know, my parents couldn't afford to buy me every expensive new thing that came out as far as clothes were concerned and shoes and new Jordans and all that, whatever was cool in school. So what I would do was I would go on Westport and I would go to thrift stores or consignment shops and I would get coats and I would get shoes. And I was more interested in having the most unique outfit. You know, I never wanted to fit in. I would go buy those cat glasses and, you know, people would look at me like, you know, going to class in school, like, what is she doing? But I was cultivating my style long before today.
You know, your folks might not have had a lot, but your mother was very fierce and very determined.
Yes.
And at the drop of a hat, she would load you into that two-door
yes.
Dodge.
How do you know about this? Yes, my mom had this two-door Dodge, and I would never forget how we would travel. I mean, you could fit. This was a two-door, small, like, Flintstones-looking car. And my friends would spend the night and go to my talent showcases. So you have, like, at least 8 kids packed in the back. We're sitting on laps. This is all illegal. Don't ever do this. We're sitting on laps, 4 people in the front. Like, it is just, even though she was working hard, she always made sure that I had a nice talent show outfit, that I had a nice cassette CD with my instrumental on it, and, you know, that we looked our best.
You've mentioned the coterie many times.
I have, yes.
You became a bit of a writer starting there.
I did. In school, I was in English AP, and, you know, honors English, and I would write a lot. My teacher, Mrs. Appleberry, who I had the opportunity to see today, I went to go speak at my old alma mater, my old high school, F.L. Schlegel High School, and she really encouraged me to just write from your heart, and she had such a unique and interesting way of teaching that it always made me want to write and be great at it. And so I took that, you know, over into acting, and the program that I got into with the Young Playwrights, the Round Table, I want to say that's the name of it, where I would go and, you know, just write short stories and fellowship with other writers and actors. And then I did Shakespeare at Wyandotte High School. And so, you know, the Coterie Theater was so instrumental in helping me hone my craft as a writer.
You went to work doing as a maid at one point to help fund your education in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And you're originally thinking musical theater, but my impression is that, you know, the musical theater thing, you know, you really needed more than performing somebody else's work.
Absolutely. Now I'm doing it, but just on my own terms. I've always, again, I've been a writer. I've had these ideas. I love science fiction. I love telling stories using science fiction. And I remember growing up, I would watch Star Wars and Star Trek, and I would watch all these things with my grandmother. Yeah, and so I was just inspired to write, you know, this musical or this theme that dealt with Kansas City, but in the future, you know. And I knew that I needed to focus on that, and I needed to have a clear mind and really take that risk and truly be diligent about writing my own work.
Ooh, you shock it, shake it, baby. Electric lady.
The Electric Lady, the new CD, is an extension of the first CD in its own way. But the message just keeps coming back to female empowerment, the disenfranchised, the marginalized in society. Yeah. I know you spent time today at your old high school.
Mm-hmm.
How was that experience for you?
Emotional. It was so emotional visiting, you know, because they're sitting in the same gymnasium that I sat in, that I listened to, and listen to people come in and speak, you know, to us. And it is, you know, I always get nervous about those events because I have so much to say and I want something to resonate. I want them to feel more empowered. I want them to be more encouraged. And you just want to make sure you can get it all out and, you know, you're not talking down to them because teenagers sometimes they're kind of hard. You know, I know I was. It's just like you have to have a unique way of approaching them for them to really get it. And I just pray that everything I said resonated. And it was a great time. My old teachers were there, Mrs. Appleberry, my English teacher, and Mr. Ammons, my music teacher, and so many of the people who helped me become the person that I am. And I, like I told them, I wish I would have listened more, you know, in high school. I wish I would have. I wish I would have focused a little bit more. That's why I'm an artist, because I'm a little, you know, crazy at times. But had I just focused just a little bit more, I probably would be doing 3 things instead of 2.
Yeah. The Electric Lady is in stores now on Atlantic Records, and the 2-disc version is at Target. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.